Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling. 5612. Hi, good morning. Hello, Drizzle. Oh no, Steve. Drizzle? Yes, Drizzle.
Yes, I'm going.
Off and on here and there. And is our fine Channel 9 WGN-TV Tribune Media Weather Department said, you know, it's not terrible yet today. Terrible's coming, though. Heat index of 105 to 110 on Thursday and Friday. It's hot enough to fry chicken. Well, not really, but, you know, I'm looking for a new analogy other than just a boiled egg.
You mean fried chicken on the sidewalk?
Yeah, or? Just take chicken and just throw it on the sidewalk. See what happens.
It sticks. You got to, like, spray it with Pam or something.
Pam your sidewalk. Throw some chicken down. Yep. See if you can make dinner. It'll be crazy hot. And what I've done is I'm going out of town Thursday. I was going to work Thursday, and then I decided I'm not going to work Thursday. Because, you know, this is summer of Steve. I only work Monday through Wednesday now.
It's a great schedule.
Yeah. But so I'm leaving for New York Thursday for the 40th high school reunion that I'll be attending Friday night.
The 40th reunion for Maureen, right?
It's both of us.
It's both your. I thought it was just her reunion.
No, we both went to the same high school.
Well, I knew that, but I thought you were.
You thought I was older?
I thought she was much younger.
Well, she does look much younger. Mm-hmm. She's actually about 6 months younger, but she does look much younger. And I do look much older. So that's the disparity. Imagine if I hadn't done this job. I would look fantastic now.
You would. We saw your high school yearbook picture last night.
Somebody told me that's on Facebook.
It's
now?
On Facebook, yes.
Yeah, I didn't even recognize you.
It's a mob figure,
you
wasn't
look
I?
Just like Ross. It's Is that scary. Right? I mean, it's not scary. It's just, I mean, it's amazing.
Strong jeans?
Yes.
I remember that picture in the $44 suit that I bought. And I look back at it now because I saw it, I don't know, a year ago probably. And I don't know why the photographer didn't tell me to smile. I mean, I look like a hitman.
You kind of, it does have that mugshot.
I look like
shot.
A junior mafioso. Yeah. So, anyway, that's on Facebook if you want to see that, what I looked like at 18. It'll throw you because I had hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, on today's little broadcast, Kurt Byram's going to call us from, he's been in the middle of his three-week European vacation. He was at the Irish Open, the Scottish Open. This week is the British Open. And he'll give us a preview of that. Spike Odell will be on the show today. And Spike Odell and Steve Grzanich will geek out on space.
Today, 50 years ago today.
Is today the actual date anniversary?
The launch of Apollo 11 was today.
And then it was 4 days, right?
4 days, yep. And then the 20th is the moon landing.
I told this story before, but I was a little kid in the 60s, 69, I would have been, what, 7, 8 years old. As a little kid in the 60s, I was so proud of my father because he worked for a company called Therm. And Therm was a machine shop, if you will. And they made a part for the Apollo rockets. Now, I don't know. To this day, my dad's been gone since 1990. To this day, I don't know what he made. I mean, it could have been a nut. It could have been a washer. Or it could have been something vitally important. He never told me. But I thought it's cool. My dad's part
it
of the
cool.
Apollo program.
It is cool. Yeah. And every nut and every washer helped put man on the moon.
Now, maybe he made the thing on Apollo 13 that blew up. That would be a problem.
Well.
But I don't know that either. So let's assume he made something that worked.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Because the rest of it worked.
Most of it did.
And for just about everybody listening right now, you know what a big deal that was. It was incredible.
I can still remember that night watching it and just being transfixed, listening to Uncle Walter describing it.
I think I talked about this too, but the thing that was, you know, it's a little kid thing, but I remember Neil Armstrong coming down the steps And I'm thinking, what if he sinks into the moon? Not considering the fact that the giant space module sitting next to him weighed more than Neil.
Yes.
And that seemed to be doing fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, there could have been a patch of moon quicksand right at the bottom of the steps that nobody saw.
Well, when he went down those steps, no one knew really what was going to happen.
Yeah, right. When I watch it, I always think, okay, so he's going to take that first step and he's just going to go flying off into space.
Oh, like a cartoon bounce?
Like a cartoon bounce, yeah. That was my fear.
There's a ton of Apollo documentaries that are out now. A really interesting discussion about who is going to be first, because it wasn't the natural course of action that the commander of the mission would be first. As a matter of fact, the commander would normally go out last. And Buzz Aldrin says, I went to Neil, I don't know, a month or two before takeoff, before liftoff, and said, decision's got to be made, commander. And Neil Armstrong said to Buzz Aldrin, according to Buzz, I'm not taking myself out of the running. Neil Armstrong's story on it in a different interview was, I was the one sitting closest to the door. Now, I got to believe there is more thought put into it than I was the one closest to the door. But he said the angle of the hatch, the way the hatch opened, he had to be the first out. Because those are small spaces.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a flying a Motel 6 hotel room. It's a small thing. But it's funny when you think about it, because you think about Buzz Aldrin, his entire life changes. Not that he's not remembered and mentioned, but Neil Armstrong's the guy. Neil Armstrong's the guy that was the first man on the moon. Now, Buzz Armstrong, Buzz Lightyear, he used to tell this joke about it. He was the first man off the moon because he was the first guy that went, you know, up the steps. And I think Buzz also was a guy that talked about he's the first guy that peed on the moon because, you know, mm-hmm. he had to go in his suit.
You know, and technically they were both first on the moon because when the thing landed, when the lander landed, they were both, you know, with the extension of the legs of the lander,
yeah.
both on the moon.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a tie, right?
I think so, but Neil Armstrong's the guy you always talk about. He's an amazing guy, too. I mean, typical of that greatest generation. You know, he didn't walk around going, oh, by the way, I'm Neil Armstrong. Can I cut in line here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Neil Armstrong. You know, can I have free dinner? Oh, I'm Neil Armstrong. Anybody want to buy me a drink? He wasn't that guy.
You know, the guy I always felt sorry for was
Mike Collins,
the other Neil Armstrong, who coached the Bears. Oh. Right? And it was always Neil Armstrong, not that Neil Armstrong.
Right. Well, Mike Collins is the guy that flew the command module. Help me out with the terminology, Steve, if I screw this up. Around the moon. And when he went on the dark side of the moon and you lost all contact with him, that was scary, too. As a little kid, I remember, well, what happens now? And we didn't know at the time, but Nixon obviously had written a speech that they can't get back. And there's a line in the speech. The speech was saved and, you know, it's been archived and released. And said these brave heroes will rest in peace on the moon. You know, if you couldn't get them back.
Yeah, imagine how if history had gone that way, what our lives would be like today. Because you have to imagine that if that would have happened, that would have been the end of the Apollo program right there. And then what would have followed that? And we know what happened after the space shuttle accidents. There were many, many years of no space exploration whatsoever in terms of humans. So you have to imagine.
Would have shut it down.
Yeah, would have shut it down.
And General John Borling, I'll leave you with this. General John Borling tells the greatest story. When Borling was a prisoner of war, longest serving prisoner of war in Vietnam, he was, you know, a troublemaker. He would do whatever he could to help his guys. He created that language, that taps on the wall language, so the POWs could communicate with each other. And he told the story on the air. At one point, he goes out, got into, you know, the area where the mail would have been kept. There was a desk there. He opens the desk. There's a bunch of mail that was never given to the POWs. He starts looking through the mail. First thing on top, he opens a letter. It's to one of his buddies, and it's a Dear John letter about his wife can't wait anymore, and she's going to file for divorce. He doesn't want to give it to his buddy, stashes it in his pocket. He goes to reach for the second letter, and he gets clubbed in the back of the head, and then, you know, these three guys, three Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, you know, prisoner keepers beat the hell out of him. So he gets back into his cell, he's thrown into his cell, And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls it out and he sees a stamp with a man on the moon. And he knows, hasn't heard any news, but he knows that we got the moon. And he tapped out in, you know, appropriate language, we won the moon, with a few expletives thrown in as well. And he said it was one of the things that really boosted him and boosted the other men.
I bet.
So, it's Apollo week. It's 6:22. We'll do the top six in just a second.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't keep
your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, dangerous heat is in fact coming. A little cooler today than we expected, but hotter at the end of the week than we expected. It'll be the hottest weather of the summer. Hottest stretch in the last 7 years. Temperatures could reach or exceed 100 degrees by the end of the week. Chicago has not recorded an official 100 degree temperature since July 4th and 5th, 2012. Heat's considered dangerous when the temperature-humidity combination produces a heat index of 105 or higher. Current forecast projection suggests a heat index is likely to exceed 105 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Duly noted? Duly noted.
Yeah, drill it down. Looks like Friday will be the hottest of those days.
How high?
Well, according to
110?
No, 97. The air temperature, 97, compared to 95 on Thursday, 94 on Saturday. The heat index is going to be 100 all these days, though.
More 100 than
100. Plus? Yeah, 100 plus.
Do you feel much difference when it's, say, 89 to 95? I mean, it's just hot. I went out here on the Riverwalk yesterday, went for a run on the lake, and, I mean, it was, you felt the heat coming up off the pavement. And it felt that way last week when it was in the 80s.
Yeah, I suppose there's a temperature where it doesn't matter as much, yeah. But the humidity rolled in is what's a bad idea. So you going to run in this weather?
Not today.
The time.
Jen, you running this weather?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's the matter with you?
I am a runner, so I run in all weather.
So when it's 105, 110 degree heat index, you're still going to run?
Yeah, you just drop it down. Wear a long sleeve shirt, something that's SPF protected, you know. Make sure you have extra salt on you.
A long sleeve shirt sounds very uncomfortable.
They have those tech shirts that, like Columbia, makes something that has a cooling factor in it. So when you sweat, it actually cools off your body.
I don't think you should run.
Huh.
I think you should maybe take an Uber Thursday and Friday.
In contrast, I'll be sitting in a dark room with the air conditioning down to 65.
Next, as renewed threats of a planned U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement operation put the immigrant community on edge, organizers say no reported ICE arrests were made in Chicago. Sunday, the first day the alleged sweeps were set to begin, organizers remain on high alert, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said that she will not support it in any single way, and we will, of course, continue to cover this with WGN News. Next, Bond fans wanted to see the next Bond film. Maybe a female or person of color. Well, here's your double whammy. Lashana Lynch, who you may know from her role in Captain Marvel, will be announced as the next Bond once Mr. Craig's version of the British spy retires. The 31-year-old British actress will be introduced in Bond 25 as a person that Craig's Bond character tries to seduce unsuccessfully. Hold on a second. James Bond has never been unsuccessful in seducing a woman.
No.
So the first woman he is not successful in seducing becomes the next James Bond? Or Jamie Bond? A source close to the film said this is a Bond for the modern era, going to appeal to a younger generation while sticking true to what people expect in a Bond film. And by the way, I said finale. It's not going to be the finale. They don't think. I mean, if it makes money, obviously they'll make more.
Sure.
Next, we have a Phil Fat update. Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson fasted for 6 days, lost 15 pounds, supposedly. This is a story that we talked about yesterday, but here's the update. He said it was a response to his poor play. And because of his poor play, he was trying to reset his body, to reset his game. He posted a video on Twitter telling fans he lost 15 pounds after going on a six-day fast that included him only drinking water and a special coffee blend. Well, you know, I don't know Phil. I've met Phil, and Phil can be a little cranky and difficult, even when he's eating well. I'm guessing that was not a whole lot of fun for his family. Mickelson also said Monday he went to a retreat aimed at getting his game back to the level he wants. This is ahead of the Open Championship, which starts Thursday at Royal Portrush. He said, I don't know if it's going to help me play better or not, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to try to get my best back. Mickelson has missed the cut 7 times in the last 15 tournaments, including the last two, but he did win earlier this year. He's not finished higher than 18th in any event since winning the Pebble Beach Pro-Am back in February. I don't think he'll make the cut this weekend.
Well, that's interesting.
He's going to be too tired from all the way to
Well, he might be. Well, okay, since ending is fast, here's what he's been eating.
Uh-huh.
Fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds.
What is he, a chimp? Next. Federal prosecutors said in court Monday, investigators found a phony passport, diamonds, and valuable artwork inside billionaire Jeffrey Epstein's $77 million Manhattan home. It's a sign, they said, that the accused sex trafficker will flee the United States if he's granted bail. Yeah, I would say. If you've got like a bag with a phony passport, diamonds, and artwork around that you could sell quickly for cash. Assistant U.S. Attorney Alex Rossmiller made the remarks at Epstein's bail hearing Monday. He said Epstein's wealth makes him a major flight risk, and the fact that the bail could be set at $100 million doesn't matter. Because one-tenth of $100 million, $10 million, just walking around money for Jeffrey Epstein. The pervert of the privileged class that had a sex trafficking thing going on. He will continue to be in jail for the indefinite future. Next. Celebrate National Hot Dog Week. Steve, did you know it's National Hot Dog Week?
I did. I've been celebrating since Sunday morning.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Portillo's is offering free delivery on online orders over $10 from July 15th through 21st, which, of course, is right now. How much does a hot dog cost at Portillo's?
I think it's probably less than $10. So you get two, right? And then you can put one away for later or give one to a friend.
Do hot dogs do well in delivery? I mean, if you order a hot dog and it shows up 30 minutes later, is that a good thing?
I've never actually had a hot dog delivered. So.
You could always throw it in that toaster that Mike showed us yesterday.
The hot dog bun toaster?
Where you put your
bun and dog toaster?
Mm-hmm. To toast your wieners and your bun.
Yes.
In conjunction with National Hot Dog Week, the restaurant launched a clothing line on its website. We talked about this earlier this week as well. For $85, you can buy a sweatshirt featuring a Chicago-style hot dog in close-up detail. Oh, and then?
do you really want that?
And then go clubbing. Huh? Yeah. Right?
Food porn.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's see. Is that your top 6 at 6? Yeah, that's your top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I've been that last kid. You know who always gets me? It's the little guy that says I play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites for sure.
And, you know, he's fine. He's kid of the week. But to me, I want to put the kid on a team.
Yes.
The kid sounds like he wants to be on a team. He should be on a team. Maybe he doesn't want to be on a team, Dave. Do we know?
He wants to play with his buddy.
Yeah, his best buddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're all great kids, and so is Hannah Eulish, who joins us now as Kid of the Week. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
And 17 makes you a junior or a senior?
I'm going to be a senior.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So you got through your junior year.
Yes.
Are you planning on coasting through your senior year, or are you just going to keep working your little tail off?
I'm going to keep working.
Yeah, because you know you need to, right?
Yeah.
What school? Any idea?
New Trier High School.
I mean for post-high school.
No, I'm just starting the application process.
And what do you think you want to do? Do you know?
I want to become a special education teacher.
It's a great field to go into. My daughter does it.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. I'm told you've always been a remarkable person, and from even the time you were little, you always wanted to help people.
Yeah.
And what drives you towards kids with special needs?
I don't know. I think that everyone deserves, like, equal opportunities.
Sure.
And I just think that it's fun to get to work with all different types of people, no matter what their ability is. And I've made some great friendships doing it, and so I like to continue doing it.
What is the Special Gifts Theater Program?
Special Gifts Theater is a program after school, and you're paired one-on-one with a student with disabilities, and you put on a performance. So you work after school, September to March, for like an hour and a half, and you put on a play, and you work on the dances and the acting, and then in March you put on a performance.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot to pick out anybody in particular, but is there somebody in particular you work with, a kid you'd want to mention that you have a great time with?
I've worked with multiple people through Special Gifts Theater because this is my third year, but I've worked with Blake and Jaden, and they've been great people to work with.
I have an older brother with special needs, and he didn't have the same opportunities that kids have now, but without people like you, those opportunities wouldn't be able to be done, so I hope you're proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Is it something that the schools are looking at, you know, that would be a determining factor for you to make sure they have majors in the program or specialties in the program that would lead you that way?
Yes, it is. Like, Illinois, University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign mm-hmm. has a really good special ed opportunity, and that's my dream school right now.
Are your grades pretty good?
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah. What's your GPA? Do you have any idea?
Weighted, it's a 4.15, and unweighted, it's a 3.9.
3.9 to a 4.15. Dave, we can get her in, can't we?
I think so.
Can we make a call?
Sure.
Say this is our friend Hannah. Let's go. Let's get it done.
Yep.
We'll call
Thank
the,
you.
I'll call the governor. You want me to call the governor? I mean, he won't do the show, but maybe he'd take the call about this.
That would be great. Thank you.
So, you're going to be a huge success. I have no doubt about it because you already are.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being Kid of the Week. Do you come from a big family?
My immediate family's pretty small.
Yeah, brothers and sisters?
I have one brother.
How old?
He's 13.
And is he a little pain or is he a good dude?
He's a good dude.
Okay. What does he do for fun?
He plays basketball and also works with people with disabilities.
You must have amazing parents.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
Yeah, what's your mom and dad do?
My mom's a psychologist. And my dad is in software.
You mean he's actually in software right now?
No, he's the president of a software company.
Oh, okay. I thought he was some sort of program or something. Well, it sounds like a very good family, and you're blessed, and they're blessed to have you. So thank you for being on.
Thank you so much.
Hold the line, if you would. What a nice person.
Very nice.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, right? That's why we do Kid of the Week every week. That's Hannah Eulish, and she is this week's Kid of the Week. And Jen DeSalvo, didn't you think she was a wonderful human being?
Oh, yeah. She was definitely delightful. And great aspirations there.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just, let's be honest. Every week, we do this segment. And we are huge failures. We're just sitting around talking, yapping.
Yeah, we talk for a living,
just
literally.
I come in here, I just shoot my mouth off for 4 hours. I think, well, that was a good time for the listeners. Hannah's actually changing the world.
She is, and that's why we don't have to.
Well, that's fair. I talk to my daughter most every day, and I get a call from her, you know, and she'll tell me what she did during the day, and I'll go, can I check that off? She's my kid. Can that be part of my day?
Yeah, you get credit for that.
That's Kid of the Week. Thank you for listening to it. And we come back, what's the most expensive college in the country? It's not too far from me where I'm sitting right now on Wacker. Stand by for that information.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
According to the most recent figures, it costs you about $31,000-$32,000 to get in-state tuition to University of Illinois. But you got to get in. Our new friend Hannah Eulish wants to go there, and I think she should. Good grades, great kid. Northwestern's $56,232 is the projected tuition for next year, for 2019-2020. $56,232. Do you remember what you paid?
I remember there being a big controversy on campus. I don't remember the year, but our tuition went up from $3,100 to $3,400 a year.
How could they?
People were protesting.
Yeah. I paid $4,000 at Ithaca College. Nice Division III school.
Mm-hmm.
Big media arts school. Of course, media arts in 1979 was a little different than it is now. And that is also well above 30. I think it's almost 40 now, 35 to 40.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So 10 times. In 40 years, 10 times the tuition.
Well, I think Illinois, if I'm not mistaken, when my daughter was coming out of high school, it was like in-state, it was like 18, 19,000.
And now it's 32.
Now it's 32.
University of Chicago will offer the country's most expensive undergraduate education after tuition and housing cost increases for 2019-2020. The total cost per year of going to the University of Chicago and living in on-campus housing is going to be over $80,000. 80 grand. And after you spend that $320,000 to $350,000 over the next 4 years, you have no guarantee you're going to have a job. This is what's wrong with the college business model that we have. If you're going to charge that kind of money, you know what you should get for 80 grand? You should get a kid smarter than you to do the work. You should get a roommate who serves your every need, and you just do what you want to do. Because for 80 grand, even though that's not what you went to college for, let's be honest, that's a lot of money, and you should. I mean, that's hiring. 80 grand, that's hiring someone and giving them a nice salary.
You could buy a small condo,
yep.
Right? A little studio apartment or something for 80 grand.
$80,000. So that's why you go to University of Illinois, in all likelihood, you're going to graduate school. So you're 320 grand in for undergrad. Graduate school, a couple of more years minimum. Let's just say it's another 150. You're at almost $500,000. That's buying a nice house, which you would normally get a 30-year mortgage for. So you get out at 22 or 25, and now you're going to pay it off for the next 30 years, which means at 55, you'll be debt-free from college. I mean, that system, it's unsustainable.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I mean, the amount of student debt the kids are coming out with, it's
outrageous.
It's just like carrying a 3-ton weight on your back, yep, for years.
Yep, no question about it. I did find some other colleges, however, which offer maybe a more specific way to get college done. There's Evergreen College in Olympia, Washington, that says students have changing interests and allows students to design their own academic plan. Each individual junior and senior has an individual learning contract, creates their own program, and develops their own syllabus. And Evergreen uses the letter grade system. And each student's required to write down their goals and interests upon arrival to campus and revisit the essay every year until a final paper is submitted during your senior year. And then they have a graduation where everyone hugs each other and they get in a circle and they sing Kumbaya, Dave.
That's be about it.
Alverno College outside of Milwaukee, an all-women's Catholic school, 2,605 students, similar to Evergreen. They give narrative evaluations to students, but unlike that school, that Evergreen school, students don't get grades. There's no grades.
That's not a bad thing. I think you would have been okay with that.
It's part of the no grades real world approach. Every student's required to complete an internship within the 4 years spent there. Everyone's expected to devote 8 to 12 hours a week to the internship and attend a corresponding seminar to make them a more well-rounded person.
Okay.
Antioch College and Ohio Liberal Arts School. The entire campus runs on solar power. 30% of the food served in the dining hall is grown by students on campus. They brag that the kitchen is equipped with no deep fryers and only buy locally grown and humanely raised produce and meat. This would have been your backup school if you didn't get into Northwestern.
No question.
You know why? They have an unofficial mascot named Kale.
No way.
That's their mascot.
At Antioch?
At Antioch in Ohio. Webb Institute is located in Glen Cove, New York, a place for students know exactly what they want to get into. It offers only one academic option. You have to double major in naval architecture and marine engineering.
Okay.
St. John's College. This college seems normal at first glance. St. John's has two campuses, one in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the other in Annapolis, Maryland. Each is home to around 500 undergraduates. Each student is required to take 4 years of seminar math and language, and 2 years of ancient Greek and 2 years of French. 2 years of lab science, 2 years of music classes. Classes are small. Professors are more like tutors. One to two to a class of 15. There are classes where there are only two people.
So if you skip that class that day, they notice.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Bard College at Simon's Rock, referred to as Simon's Rock College by students and faculty. It's like any other small liberal arts college, except you don't have to graduate high school to attend. The average age incoming freshman, 16, but the age range on campus is anywhere from 14 to 23. Schools in Massachusetts. Naropa University, founded in 1974 by Tibetan Buddhist, whose name I can't pronounce, focuses on artistic expressions and contemplative practices. The school's mascot is the Bodhicittas.
The what?
Which translates into enlightened cheetahs. 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Enlightened cheetahs. Enlightened cheetahs. It doesn't work.
No.
Very, very difficult. And finally, Gupton Jones College of Funeral Service. The Gupton Jones College, students interested specifically in art and science of funeral service after graduating from high school. They take all the normal gen ed classes, but they focus fast and very specifically on how to bury someone. Undertakers, funeral home folks. So there you go. Instead of being an 80 grand at University of Chicago, there's a lot of choices right there. And all for less money.
Okay, I'm just trying to envision what that whole campus environment would be like.
It's very sad. Actually, I've known a few people in the funeral home business. Mm-hmm. They're some of the funniest people I've ever met. Because you would imagine to survive that, you must have a pretty dark sense of humor.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, they're very funny. It's 7:03. We're going to come back in just a moment and continue with what we call the Steve Cochran Show on this July 16th, live from the beautiful 18th floor studios. The greatest studios in America and the greatest city in the world in Chicago. Good morning, wherever you are. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
716, one of the best tournaments of the year by far, is one of the four majors. It's the Open Championship, the British Open, going to be at Royal Portrush. Royal Portrush is a goofy golf course. A lot of the European courses are. And Kurt Byram, I don't know what sort of souvenir he's bringing back for me. Kurt Byram, NBC Sports, Golf Channel, but he's been in Europe for 3 weeks, so he should at least bring me back something, don't you think?
Well, he usually brings you, like, he brought you that T-shirt that said, I went to Royal Portrush, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
He also brought back advice, which was quit. Stop playing golf.
Yeah.
Kurt Byram joins us now. Good morning, buddy.
What's up, Steve? How you doing?
Or good afternoon to you. How's your 3 weeks in Europe going?
Oh, man, it's been great. I did the tournament, the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit, and then flew straight over from Detroit to Ireland, flew into Shannon, and we did the Irish Open. Weather was great. La Hinch, the golf club, was great. And then we went over and did the Scottish Open last week at Renaissance and right next to Muirfield, and we had a good week there. And now on to the big one now this week.
Have you played Royal Portrush?
I have. I played it 2 years ago. We were here 2 years ago doing the Irish Open at Port Stewart, which is right next door, and I was able to come over and play one day. It's phenomenal. It's so good, and it's hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. Explain to people, though, if you can. I don't know what hole it is, but there's a hole that drops off like a cliff, like if you picture Pebble Beach, that drops off to another golf course at Royal Portrush down below, and it's not OB. You got to go down there and play it, right?
I don't hit it where you do normally. So
you know, that's a very good point. I've got to go play it. You're going to be in the fairway.
The 17th hole, though, the way these guys are going to play it this week for the tournament, is dramatically downhill from tee to green, and then about 130 yards, maybe 120 yards from the green, there's a cliff that you just drop off and the ball will run. If they get it downwind, 15 miles an hour, it's a little over 400 yards to the green. They can definitely drive it on there. But they got to hit a perfect drive on the exact line to catch the right slope. And then if they don't, there's a lot of trouble down there. So 17 is going to be a fun hole to watch this week.
It's called the speed slot. Last week, there's, and this is, again, the wacky fun of European golf courses. One of the holes, I think it was last week, it had like three fairways crossing in one particular hole. And so you had to wait for guys to hit from, say, 5 over 12 or whatever the case may be. You still see a lot of that?
That was at La Hinch. That was 18T, 5T shot, which is a par 3. 18 is a par 5. 5 is a par 3. And then the fourth hole, the second shot, a blind shot over a mound. All three of those balls could have been in the air crossing at the same time. So it was pretty bizarre. I've never really seen anything like it. But, you know, that's the thing about these golf courses. You know, a lot of them were built in the 1800s. And, you know, without modern equipment, without all of the bulldozers and everything that we have nowadays. So whatever the land gave you, that's kind of where they just fit the turner, you know, the holes in, and then they built the green. And typically, you're in the dunes on these links next to the sea or the ocean, and they're very quirky. I mean, they're 150 years old, and whatever that land gave those guys back then, that's what you still have today. It's really cool to play, though. It's my favorite golf, Steve. I love playing links golf.
I know. Yeah, no, we've talked about that. And you'll remember I played with you at Chicago Golf here, which is similar, you love that golf. Does that have anything to do with where you grew up?
It's possible. I grew up on a golf course. It was a 9-hole sand green golf course that didn't have irrigation, so we used to get a lot of roll on our drives there at that little golf course. Maybe that is it.
15 British Open champs in the field this week, of course, include Tiger Woods. There's two schools of thought here. One is that it's Tiger, and you can never count him out, and he's got his hot new 2-iron. He's going to hit a bunch of stingers. The other is he hasn't played enough to be competitive, and you could very possibly see Tiger blow up this week. Where are you?
I have no idea what we're going to get out of him. And the hard part, the thing that's hard is you don't know where he's at physically with that, you know, with that body that's been broken down through the years. He's obviously, you know, to win the Masters, he's back, he's put together, but he's really got to pay attention to the body. So I don't know where he is with that, and I'm assuming that's why he took all the time off. Didn't play a tournament from the U.S. Open to the Open here this week. So I don't know for sure what we're going to get. I would have loved to have seen him play at least once in between to kind of see where he's at, where the ball's going, what he needs to work on. But, you know, just without being able to really get to him and talk to him and get, you know, the answers you're looking for, it's pretty hard to tell what you're going to get from him.
What do you think of the new Finn Phil Mickelson post-fast?
I saw him out there today. He looks really good. I mean, he's probably, I'm guessing, at least 10 pounds that he's lost. He looks really great. I was talking to his instructor, Andrew Getson, and he said, man, his energy's up. He's mentally, he's better than he was, you know, the last couple months. So he seems to be excited to play. He seems to be in a good place mentally. So, you know, it'll just be a matter of whether he can fit it into these fairways. If you hit a bunch of drivers and you miss a bunch of fairways this week, there's no chance you're going to contend. It's tight on some of the holes, and it's not, you know, if you didn't have spotters down there, you'd lose your ball. I mean, there are some really tough spots out there.
That's why, Dave, when I play, I bring a spotter, not a caddy.
That's a good idea.
A spotter right out in front of me. Kurt Byram, NBC News, or NBC Sports, I should say, and the Golf Channel. Dave.
Kurt, how much does local knowledge help Rory McIlroy this week?
You know, I would have said I typically like that kind of stuff, but this golf course is really straightforward. There's really nothing too tricky about it. There's only maybe a couple shots that I would consider blind shots, and they're not too severe. So once these guys have played a couple of practice rounds, they pretty much get their lines off the tee. You know, by that I mean they know how much they can cut off the dog legs. They know what their run out is through the fairway on the other side. And they pretty much, with all of the landmarks, with the grandstands all over the place, the television towers, all that kind of stuff, they pretty much get it figured out. And this isn't a quirky golf course. This is really straightforward. I think, I mean, this could be one of the best venues that they've played this tournament on. It's just phenomenal. And it's, if we get any wind at all, it's going to play really hard.
Give me a lightning round on a couple of guys. Gary Woodland.
Gary Woodland, he could do very well around here. I think he'll hit a lot of others off the tee rather than driver. He's long enough. He's going to hit a lot of two irons. If he keeps the ball in play, you just never know. He's up. You know, what we saw at the U.S. Open could happen again with him. He wouldn't be my pick to win it, but he's got the game to do it, and he's already proven that.
Dustin Johnson's had a really good year, but I don't know. He's just never front page for me anymore because of Brooks Koepka, but is he playing well?
I think he's playing okay. You know, he hasn't done a whole lot recently, but you can never really count him out. He's definitely in the top seven or eight guys, I think, when you're talking about. He's just so much talent that if he gets going, then he could be the guy to beat. You just never know for sure. But I think, I think Brooks Koepka, Rory, the other guy I think that's playing really well, and he's got a lot of confidence right now. He won the Irish Open, would be John Rahm. But it's hard to predict, man. Predicting winners in golf when you got 156 guys,
kind of nuts.
Is really hard to do.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. And because I'm your friend, I'm not going to ask you to do that. The British Open usually has somebody you don't expect that at least lives on the leaderboard on the final day. Who's that going to be?
There's a guy. He's an Englishman, Matt Wallace, and he's not really under the radar, especially over here, because he won three times last year on the European Tour. But Matt Wallace is a fiery guy. He's really competitive. He's starting to play some great golf. He's been pretty consistent. He'd be a guy that I wouldn't be surprised to see compete this week. He's, I believe he's teeing it up. I don't have my pairings here right now, but I think he's teeing it up with Tiger the first 2 days. So that'll be a big moment for him.
Safe travels, my friend. You're doing great stuff for the Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and I look forward to seeing more of that. And thanks for doing this.
I enjoy our chat, Steve. Take care of yourself.
All right, buddy. See ya. That's Kurt Byram. And his brother Tom has had another great year on the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
Kurt could play the Champions Tour and win. I have no question in my mind that he'd probably win out there multiple times. But he's doing so great on TV. It's like, it's kind of tough to tee it up. It's tough when you have that hair.
And he also says he doesn't have all that much time to play.
Mm-mm. I seem to find time.
Yeah, and you're a broadcaster.
I'm out every day.
Yeah.
Steve.
Steve, we have some breaking news. The alligator in Humboldt Park Lagoon has been captured. Police telling us just a few minutes ago that the trapper from Florida, Frank Robb, apparently got the gator probably sometime this morning. We don't know specific details. They're telling us that a photo of the two will be released a little bit later on. A news conference from authorities coming up at about 10 o'clock this morning.
And it'll be released at Six Flags today at noon.
Exactly. So the alligator in Humboldt Park, who has been dubbed Chance the Snapper,
right,
is in custody.
Okay. Custody.
No traffic.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Meanwhile, we're efforting getting Scotty the Gator, it's his real name, it's not Chance the Snapper, back on to talk about his capture.
No, he knows Chance the Snapper. Remember, he told us.
I think he was kind of hiding things there, or possibly confused. Time for the most valuable person on the planet, Daniel T. Gibbons, by return visit. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for coming back on. Weren't you the MVPP before?
Yeah, I was on the day before Thanksgiving. We have a 5K run in Elmhurst, to our turkey trot. We raise money for local food banks.
And you have another event coming up now.
We do. Actually, Cafe Liberty is a satellite program of our foundation. It's a job training program for veterans and veterans' families. And it's free. It's at no cost to the veteran. It's a culinary training school. And we teach veterans how to cook and we find them work in our effort to pay back. But we need support. So we have our inaugural country music festival, Freedom and Dignity Festival, on Saturday, August 10th at Schaumburg Boomer Stadium.
Nice.
We're trying to plan for not only not taking care of the current Cafe Liberty, but we think when we get the tipping point that we're going to need to open up another one because the need is there. The need to help our veterans is there. It's a great need. And we want to help the whole family because we have a premise that when one serves, the whole family serves. So our lineup, we have a fantastic lineup on August 10th at Schaumburg Boomer Stadium. Our headliners, Toby Keith. Our supporting artists are Clay Walker, Colt Ford, Craig Kimball, and Six String Crossing. And it goes from 3:30 till 10:30. It's an all-day event. It's not crazy expensive. Our tickets start at 30. We go up to a VIP ticket at 175. And I urge people to get their tickets now because we will sell out.
No question about it. How do they do that?
Yeah. Well, they go to our website, freedomanddignityfestival.org, and you can purchase your ticket online. You can get your parking pass online. If you want to learn more about Cafe Liberty, go to cafeliberty.org. But right now, the most pressing thing is to support Cafe Liberty. So that's why we're having the festival. It's freedomanddignityfestival.org. Come out and see us. You're going to have a great time. And help our veterans in need. We recently had a conversation yesterday with a lady who was going to a convention of Gold Star Moms, and we want to have our Gold Star families involved too.
Sure, of course.
And the only way that we can make this and keep this at no cost to the veteran is to have fundraisers and events to support it. And I can't thank everybody enough who's already bought a ticket, but I reach out to your vast audience. Mm-hmm. If you want to help a veteran go through and get training and get a job, come and see us. And if you cannot, for some reason, can't make it that day, online you can purchase a ticket for a veteran, and we'll get it into a veteran
fan
so they can attend.
All right, give them the website one more time.
Okay, it's freedomanddignityfestival.org.
Freedomanddignityfestival.org, and there's links to everything else there. See, that's why, Daniel T., you are the most valuable person on the planet. Coming back with the headlines next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
If you believe, they put a man on the moon. 746, the big brother I never wanted. And the legacy space expert of 720 WGN, Spike Odell, joins us. Spike's intern, Steve Grzanich, standing by as well.
Roger, Houston.
Where were you? I never asked you this. Where were you when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon?
I was at my friend's house. I was, what was I? I forget, 14 years old. We were all staying all night together, a bunch of us guys, to watch the moon watch. It was black and white TV.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, because I was in the recliner, leaning back, and as he's coming out, stepping off the limb and walking on the moon, I'm looking through the Venetian blinds, and I can see the moon up there. I mean, I'm looking at the real moon while I'm watching him walk on it. I'll never forget that. That was so cool.
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Steve, I don't think I asked you. Where were you?
I was just a little baby at the time, and one of my most prized possessions is a photograph of my dad holding me standing in front of the television, and you can see Walter Cronkite on the television.
That's very cool, yeah.
Spike and I are old enough to remember Walter Cronkite and Wally Schirra.
Yeah.
And was Wally one of the Gemini guys?
Yeah, he was Gemini, and then he went on, and he got a little testy with NASA. He was one of the few that told NASA where to stick it while he was in orbit, so he didn't fly again.
Then that got him out of the Apollo program, I guess, huh?
No. Did he fly Apollo? I guess he did. Yeah, yeah.
He
was Gemini 6 and 7, the first crew that rendezvoused in space.
So we know a lot more now than we did then. What do you think of Michael Collins talking about? He didn't mind at all not being the guy on the moon. You think that's true?
Well, no, but I do understand the part that everybody has to play that part to make it all happen.
Sure.
And he was the one that was designated to be the pilot, the command module pilot. And I know he would have given anything to step on the moon, but he was happy to do his part, yeah. I know what you mean, though. I'm sure he wanted to.
Can you imagine being on the... Because one of the things he said, Steve, I think you've seen this as well. He said, people always go, wasn't it lonely? He goes, no, man. I had my own thing. I'm flying around the moon. I'm on the dark side of the moon. Nobody can get a hold of me. It wasn't like he was going to fly off and land on Uranus. I mean, you know, he was just he's in orbit.
Yeah. And even back.
Have you been watching all these moonshot programs on TV the last month as they're getting up to this day? Have you been watching all?
They're very cool. Very cool, Steve. Have you seen them?
I've learned so much watching it. I thought I knew quite a bit, but I've learned so much watching that stuff. The one that blows me away was whenever you hear the recording of them coming down, about to land on the moon. You know, they're hovering and they're looking for a spot to land, and you always hear on the tape 12:02 alarm.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, 12:02 alarm is in. And what I didn't know is that inside the lunar module, Neil and Buzz are looking at each other going, what's a 12:02 alarm? And then what I didn't know is that everybody back in Houston, all the flight controllers are looking at each other going, what's a 12:02 alarm? So they've got it in, and they're thinking, do we abort this thing? Do we keep going? And they said, just keep going. And come to find out, what the 12:02 alarm was the computer, which is not as powerful as your Apple Watch these days.
Right.
The computer on board the lunar module was just simply sending out a signal saying, hey, baby, I'm overworked. This is all I can do. Settle down.
But am I right about this, for either one of you guys? They only had like 15, 20 seconds of fuel left, so they couldn't have gotten out of there if they wanted to, could they?
Yeah, I think it was about 12 seconds of fuel that was left when Neil finally sat it down.
Yeah. Well, that was fuel to land on the moon. If they wanted to abort, they did have fuel to go back up, but not to hover down.
Oh, that does make sense, right? Because if you only had 12 seconds of fuel left, you'd still be there.
If they aborted it, the bottom half of that limb would have fallen, and they would have gone up.
So it's just so wild, completely wild. One of the things I saw, and Steve and Spike, I don't know if you saw this, was they did information on the heart monitors that Buzz and Neil Armstrong were wearing, and their heart rate went up from a resting rate to like a 110, and I think Neil Armstrong may have topped out at 125, 130. I'm at 125 getting out of a chair.
Can you imagine the pucker factor on those guys coming down there? You can crack walnuts with your sphincter, buddy. I'm telling you, that would be awful.
It's an absolutely amazing thing to look back and remember. I don't know if anybody under the age of 50 can really, get it or understand it, but yeah, I certainly hope you're seeing it and appreciating it and watching it. One of the things that came on through Apollo 13 was that, and I never knew if it was real or not, but was the night that Lovell was doing a show around the capsule as they were flying towards the moon, and none of the networks carried it. And I heard Lovell in an interview say, in some ways, the accident on 13 was the best thing that could have happened to NASA because everybody wanted to watch the space program again.
Yeah, it was becoming old hat, and that was kind of sad. That really kind of, as a young kid, that bothered me. Why are they not doing this? I was the kid that set my alarm clock for 2 o'clock in the morning to get up and watch them walk,
Sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, and something else, too, that I don't think a lot of people realize, that every once in a while I'll hear people say, why are we wasting money on a space program? All of the stuff that they created for Apollo and then for the space shuttle, all of that stuff is the technology we're using today, all of these spin-off products. NASA puts out this catalog every year of spin-off technologies, and it's a nice, thick catalog of stuff that they've created. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, kids, but we wouldn't have Velcro without the Apollo program.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Microwave ovens, the whole deal, yeah.
What, I mentioned this earlier. My one thought as a 6 or 7 or an 8-year-old kid was when Neil Armstrong steps on the moon, he's going to sink. And it never occurred.
It never.
I actually thought of that too as a kid, but I figured if that thing is holding the entire lunar module, sure it can hold Neil Armstrong's weight. Yeah.
I couldn't process that as far. Did you hear the whole thing about who was supposed to get off first, and Buzz and Neil had different stories?
Yeah, Buzz was trying to coerce himself to be the first, but NASA said no. The command, the commander is the one that's going to do it. So that's how it worked. I've heard that story. If I can make a suggestion, if you've seen the trailers and stuff for the CNN documentary about the Apollo moonshot, I'd suggest watching that, because if you want to know what it was like 50 years ago when they took off and when they landed and when they walked and when they came back, I was on the edge of my seat and I knew how the story ended,
Yep.
It was just like I was when I was a kid 50 years ago. It's really well done.
You know, Lovell came in on your show a bunch here.
Yeah.
And did he ever talk about watching 11? I know most of the conversation, like when he was nice enough to come on this show, was talking, or when I was filling in for you, was talking about 13. But did he talk to you much about 11?
Yeah, he did somewhat. Charlie Duke was the Capcom, the guy working the communications back and forth to the moon when they landed. Although Jim Lovell was also there, he pulled shifts during that too. So he was a big part of the 11 mission. Yeah,
yeah. There's actually a photograph, one of the most historic photographs of the Capcom folks, and Lovell is sitting right there next to Charlie Duke, and they're at key roles right when they landed on the moon. You can see Lovell sitting right there.
Charlie Duke, one of the cool customers. I got a trivia question for you.
Go ahead.
Not walking on the moon, but landing on the moon. Who said the first words?
I don't know, Steve.
Oh boy, that's going to be a tough one. I don't know. You guys?
Because all my life, I always thought it was Neil Armstrong saying, "Houston, the Eagle has landed."
Yeah, not true.
Now, if you go back and listen to the tapes, it's obviously Buzz Aldrin saying, okay, contact light.
Oh.
Contact meant they're on the ground there. So.
What a cool little question. Look at you, Captain Trivia.
I'm going to use that for my trivia questions. Yeah.
Look at you. People thought you were sitting around painting and looking at birds. You're doing stuff.
You know, earlier when you were talking about Michael Collins going around in the dark on the dark side of the moon when all the other guys were going down, being alone, feeling alone, there were so many people around the world watching what was going on and listening to what was going on. Imagine if we could capture the attention of the world like that again with some idea.
Yeah.
And have everybody
a unifying event.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be cool. I always think of the fact too that the entire world, billions of people, were gathered around whatever television set they could find to watch these guys walk on the moon for like an hour and a half, and the only person who couldn't see it was Michael Collins.
How about that?
Yeah,
in the entire universe.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And he was just 60 miles above the surface. You know.
You like the idea that we're going back?
Yeah, I do. I think we have to. If we don't stop doing that and keep exploring, I mean, we just dry up as a civilization. We've always explored. We went down the river. We went to the North Pole. We went to the South Pole. You got to explore. When you stop, you're just going to dry up as a civilization, I think.
I had the honor of interviewing Gene Cernan before he died. This was maybe 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. And he told me about how after Apollo 17, when we stopped the Apollo program and we didn't go back to the moon, how much we did not learn about the moon, even though we had gone all those many times. There was so much uncharted territory, so many things we could learn, and his one of his wishes was that we would go back and continue the work of Apollo.
Cool. And we got to go on to Mars too to pick up Matt Damon. Because he's still tending to the garden.
Poor guy's still growing potatoes up there. God bless him.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thank you, man.
That's the great Spike Odell, not the average
happy
or
Apollo
the middle
Day.
That's happy Apollo Day to you, Spike Odell.
Hey, Spike.
Oh, hold on, I'll get him back. I got him right here.
Spike?
Yeah.
Hey, happy Apollo Day.
Is this little David?
Yeah, tell him. Tell him, Spike. You know what you're going to say. Tell him.
Come on. I want him to tell me. Hey, come on, he's late for the news. Come on.
He's got to get to the news.
Time. Let me just save you both time. I love both of you.
All right, I love you all.
I love you. See you later. That's grown men sharing emotions. Texter just reminded me we left a car on the moon. Remember the car they used to drive around in the later missions?
Yeah.
Got to pick that up, too. Imagine the service that thing needs. Coming up next hour, more on entertainment just minutes away in Hawks convention passes. Steve will be back in just minutes in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
You know, outside of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, a lot of people are saying, Dean, a lot of people are saying this, that Moron Entertainment is the greatest development in America.
That's very true.
Yeah.
People say to me all the time, you know, I remember exactly where I was the first time I heard about Moron Entertainment.
That's the best thing I've heard all day. Well, at least one of them. How are you?
Well, I'm so relieved that the alligator has been caught.
We're trying to reconnect. You know, we've had exclusive interviews with the alligator
the
past couple days.
You're the only one, yeah.
And we're trying to reconnect with him now. We figure his one call would go to an attorney or to me, and I think me would be the answer. So yeah, we're hoping to get him on.
Yeah, you could call the attorney.
right. So we get Karen Conti on this case.
Yeah. You talk to Steve, you get the true story, because now that he's been captured, and I'd like to know how this Florida guy caught him. You know, what was the means? Was there alligator wrestling that went on? Did he give up peacefully?
we're gonna find out the answers to those questions at about 10 o'clock. We're now just got a note from the park district saying animal care control saying the alligator will be in attendance at the news conference.
Oh, wow. Well, good. Well, I think give the alligator a chance to speak if he doesn't get on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, if anybody will have him on the show to, you know, tell his story, what he's been doing for the last week. How annoying it's been having people hanging out along the banks of the lagoon, bothering him.
They probably held up a picture of, like, the Beyonce of alligators to lure him in.
Yeah, that would do it.
Hmm? That's all I'm saying.
That would do it. Hubba hubba.
I don't think alligators...
However you say that, an alligator.
Yeah, I don't think alligators say hubba hubba to indicate their interest in another alligator.
Well, you don't know that for sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. Celebrity real estate's big day. Also, Diddy in the news. You know, I guess I've lost track. So Puff Daddy is back to Diddy?
Just plain Diddy.
Just Diddy.
He was P. Diddy for a little while.
D-I-double-D-Y.
And now he's just gone plain old Diddy.
In the hizzy. Diddy in the hizzy.
Yeah.
That's right. Emmy nominations coming out today. Donald Glover, married, unmarried, we don't know. We'll figure it out because Dean will tell us. Tom Hanks news, that's always good. We love Tom Hanks. And Garth Brooks' dive bar tour. Even though it's a complete fraud because Joe's on Wheat Street is not a dive bar.
Right. He kicked off this. He's doing the Seven City secret, what he's calling dive bar tour, that kicked off at Joe's on Wheat Street. We'll play a little bit of it for you in a minute. But
Joe's on Wheat Street is a legitimate concert venue.
It's a nice, it's a very, very nice
dive bar venue.
To me, it's not a dive bar unless you have to get a penicillin shot going in or out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place on the south side that Dean grew up not too far from. It's called the What Smells Funny in Here Pub. That's a dive bar.
That's right. If there's not a chance you're going to get a disease while you're in that bar, it's not a dive bar.
That's what I'm talking about.
Anybody knows that.
Moron Entertainment continues in just moments, but first at 8:18.
Where I was the first time I heard that.
Texter says, I hate Moron Entertainment with Dean. Well, thank you for listening.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Sponsored by Ravinia.
Dean, we're getting a ton of texts all of a sudden here.
So, the gator.
727, they use dog food to catch the gator. I don't know if that's true or not. 630, please have Dean talk about the destruction of the 007 Bond movie series. I don't think it's... Because they added a female lead?
What's being reported is that Daniel Craig's character, James...
That's Daniel Craig Lewis, right? The guy that played Lincoln?
Daniel Craig, who has played James Bond for the past several movies.
Okay.
The character James Bond retires from the MI6.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're being told is the premise of the next movie. He goes into retirement. A new agent takes over.
And a girl.
A girl is assigned his secret agent number, 007. So she doesn't become James Bond. She becomes the new 007.
Jamie Bond.
They bring back... it's a case that's so big, they need the help of this veteran secret agent, James Bond, so they bring him back to help the new 007. I don't think it's the destruction of the series.
No, of course not. 219, ignore the ignorant haters. I love moron entertainment. You two make me laugh every day. That's Linda.
Thank you. Crushed by that original email, but that's okay.
815, I love moron entertainment, especially when Dean's one-liners one-up you, Steve.
That never happens. We have a very strict rule. Steve's always the funniest one in the segment.
And guys, we just got the booking photo for Chance the Snapper.
Is that right?
It's just been released by Animal Care and Control.
Can we get that up on Twitter, Michael?
It's just going out now. A couple of us have tweeted it out. We're going to get it on the main account, Twitter WGN Radio account.
Is he smiling in his mugshot?
He is smiling. He's being held apparently by Rob, the gator wrangler, and he looks like a healthy alligator.
He does not look that big, though, in this picture, does he?
No, he looks like he's 5 feet, maybe 4 feet.
3 feet long.
He's like the Danny DeVito of celebrity alligators.
He is.
He looks pretty happy.
He is.
So, all right, why don't we start with this Diddy thing, because a texter says, I like what Lewis Black once called him in a bit, Puff Daddy Diddy Farty Icky.
Wow.
Lewis, I love
that's
you.
That's very descriptive.
I love him.
Do you remember the show that Diddy had on MTV back in the early 2000s called Making the Band?
Yeah, I wasn't a watcher of it, but I remember it, sure.
Yeah, it was a reality show, and they would help groups form bands from scratch and follow them and see how their musical careers would go. Diddy announced yesterday that he's bringing this back, and they're launching a global talent search. If anybody wants to enter this, all you have to do is go to hashtag. Wait, I'll give you the full hashtag, Steve, because I know we have a lot of musicians that listen to the show.
Yeah.
Hashtag MTB casting. And you upload a video of you performing, and then maybe you can be on this Diddy show.
You know what I should do? I should send in a video of me yodeling and just see if I get a response.
Can we get a little sample of that now?
Yodeling! What do you think?
That sounds like Diddy.
Emmy nominations coming up.
We'll find out. It's 10:30. They move the nominations back from super early in the morning, like they always do with all the award shows.
They didn't want to compete with the alligator news.
Well, that's very true today, that's for sure. But at 10:30 this morning, they'll announce, and Game of Thrones, Veep, Barry, Blackish, are all expected to get multiple nominations, so we'll see how that shakes.
Barry's really good, by the way. It's creepy, but great.
Great show.
Donald Glover, is he married or not?
Well, he was doing interviews over the weekend for The Lion King that is coming out on Friday, and somebody asked if his kids went to the world premiere. He's got two little kids. They did. And he said, they asked, how did the kids like the movie? And he said, well, the kids were looking at me and my wife during the whole movie.
Oh, boy.
Nobody knew that Donald Glover was married.
Maybe it's his musical side that's married.
Or maybe Childish Gambino side?
Or maybe it's just Donald Glover that's married. Yeah. I suppose you wouldn't be Childish Gambino if you're married because your wife wouldn't put up with it.
Yeah, well,
you'd be grown up Gambino.
You'd be grown up. You'd be more mature Gambino, mm-hmm. something like that. But so apparently he, let the cat out of the bag, so to speak.
Hmm. Well, good luck with the cat. Yeah. I don't understand the Tom Hanks story. Explain.
Well, they're making a new Baz Luhrmann, who wrote and directed Moulin Rouge,
mm-hmm.
Is writing and directing a new movie that's based on the life of Elvis Presley. Tom Hanks will play Colonel Tom Parker.
Perfect.
Elvis's notorious manager. And they just named the young actor who will play Elvis Presley in the film.
Screech from Saved by the Bell?
He is not young, for one thing. Mm. But it's a young actor by the name of Austin Butler.
Hmm.
Austin Butler.
Has he done anything?
Not anything of great note, but he does look a little like young Elvis. So, they don't even know when this movie is going to be coming out yet. That's how early the whole thing is.
How is Garth Brooks?
Garth Brooks kicked off his dive bar tour. at Joe's on Weed Street.
By the way, he's a great guy. He really is a phenomenal guy.
Very, very nice man.
And a tremendous talent. But Joe's is not a dive bar.
Yeah, well, you know, his new album is called Dive Bar. His lead single is called Dive Bar. So supposedly he's playing seven cities, dive bars only, not the mega arenas like he normally plays. Joe's, they estimated about 400 people were at Joe's last night. Joe's on Weed Street is not even remotely a dive bar.
No.
But if
Garth Brooks, great venue.
Garth Brooks wants to think it's a dive bar, who am I to say? This is, he was on Jimmy Kimmel. They broadcast the one of the songs last night. Here's a little of that.
Gonna spin the in a cheap of a time bar. Turn that bottle up and break it, crank out two bucks or make it bartend for another man.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you could not get that kind of sound out of a dive bar. There'd be a guy with a beer bottle broken over his head in the back. And wouldn't be all those people screaming and yelling?
Yeah, I picture like the bar. Remember in the Blues Brothers?
Yep.
Where the Blues Brothers
Chicken Wire.
Behind Chicken Wire?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Cantina Bar in Star Wars, something like that?
Of course.
Those are dive bars. Joe's is a very, very lovely place. They played the band. He brought his full band with him. They played for over an hour and a half.
That's the other thing. You couldn't fit the full band on a dive bar stage.
You couldn't get them in there.
No.
There'd only be room for the band and nobody else if it were a legit dive bar.
You'd have a guitar and Garth and then a guy in the background.
Yeah.
So I got a drummer.
I got to think that Garth may still be in town this morning.
Good morning, Garth.
Before he moves on. So
we love you, Garth, but you didn't play
that.
Here
he is right now. Garth Brooks caught the alligator.
Well, it'd be great promotion for the tour.
Right.
Because Lord knows he needs the money. All right, let's get on to what really matters. Do you have a new celebrity real estate listing?
Yes, I do have a brand new listing.
What kind of a listing?
Well, it is what we like to call in the business, Steve, a honey of a deal.
Have you donned your gold blazer?
I have my gold Century 21 real estate blazer, as you know, on the side when I'm not busy with all this celebrity nonsense. I am a celebrity realtor to the stars, and Gwen Stefani called me the other day.
See, this, I'm conflicted about this because you know how I feel about Gwen Stefani. She's a terrible person.
To me, she's a client, and I love her and respect her.
I mean, she was rude to my staff and to me when I was on Z100 in New York City, and that's why I left. Well, I got fired. That's probably
because
why I
of
left.
Her.
Well, I got fired. That's probably why I left.
Well, you might like part of this story then.
All right, go ahead.
Because she called me and said, Dean, celebrity realtor to the stars, I would like to sell my 15,000 square foot home in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Right now, I'm thinking I would like to get $35 million for it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're going to need to drop that price. And she did, $24 million now. Seven bedrooms, seven baths, tennis court, swimming pool.
Well, what happened to $35 million to $24 million? Somebody get killed in the house,
well,
and she didn't want to get out or something.
It wasn't the house was not moving
because she's a murderer.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, that's probably not true.
She wasn't not the house was not moving. She is not a murderer. In case her lawyers are listening, she is definitely not a murderer.
No. And I've forgiven her. I've moved on. I've been holding a grudge for 22 years, and it's over.
Right. Well, the first thing she said to me is, "Steve still mad at me?"
We were kids then.
Yeah, she's been upset about the whole thing.
All right, so $25 million. I checked the amount of money in my wallet. As you know, I'm a cash guy.
Right.
And I have $196 in cash. Dave?
I have, I believe, I have $63.
All right, so we're up to $247.
Some high rollers.
No, $259. $259. We will make a cash offer of $250. Joe, you got any money? Super Joe?
Yeah, I pickpocketed you earlier, and I took $25 of your $196. So I think that keeps us at the same total.
All right, so we're still at $259. But that's a cash offer. That's straight cash, homie. So why wouldn't she take it?
I'm writing that down right now. And if anyone still has a fax machine, I'm faxing that offer over to her right now.
Where is it located, the house?
We don't have the latest technology in our real estate office yet. It's in a gated neighborhood in Beverly Hills.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, seven beds, seven baths, tennis courts,
swimming pool. It's going to be awkward for you and I to live together in Beverly Hills, Dave?
No, I'm fine with that. I'm just concerned that Super Joe was holding out on us because he just got back from Vegas. He's probably loaded. We could up the offer.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Did you win in Vegas?
I may have done a little winning, yeah.
Yeah, nicely done.
May have done a little winning.
Nicely done. All right, Dean, you'll let us know on that.
I am going to contact her the moment that we get off the air.
And do give her my best, won't you?
She's been concerned about your relationship over the years.
You know, ever since she got together with Blake Carrington, you know, her boyfriend, I've decided to, you know, drop my grudge. It's not Blake Carrington?
I believe it's Gavin Rossdale now.
She got back with Gavin Rossdale? What a bizarre twist of fate. All right, thank you.
This is why she doesn't like you.
Yeah, probably.
Get the ex-husband's names mixed up. That's going to set somebody off.
Get in line. Thank you, buddy.
See
you. Moron Entertainment concludes for another Moron Day. We come back to the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
I got Blackhawks convention passes. Super Joe's back from Las Vegas at a bachelor party. He won't tell us how much he won. But Super Joe, I'd like to give you the honor of telling us what caller will win these Blackhawks convention passes.
Yeah, let's go with caller number 77 for the new kid that just got a new contract, Kirby Doc.
77 for Kirby Doc, 312-981-7200. Now, here's the thing. Is that a number you played in Vegas in any way?
Sevens were involved, yep.
Sevens were involved. Where'd you make the money, sportsbook or blackjack?
It's funny because I thought I would be more comfortable at the sports book, but yeah, that didn't go as well as I was hoping.
So blackjack, you made it up.
Yep.
Not good for you. Yeah, for you kids listening, definitely focus on the blackjack. In studio, two of my favorite people, Patrick and Will Roth from the amazing Roth family of Naperville. And by the way, hi, Andy. Good luck with the one good leg that you have left. But Patrick is a Mizzou upcoming junior, Dave, and both your kids went to Mizzou, didn't they?
They did. They did. So we've been talking a little bit because for some reason Patrick wants to get in this business.
Yeah. Sports journalism, Patrick? Is that the major?
Correct.
And what's the dream job? Take an NX job?
Yeah, I think taking his or your job, either one.
Or both.
See, this is more, I would like your mom and dad to continue to be proud of you, and I think that's more Dave's job than mine. All right, so here's the thing. We got a bunch of professional broadcasters on this show who all have had different career experiences. So let me start with you, Jen DeSalvo. You have any advice for the college junior at Mizzou, Patrick Roth?
Oh, yeah. Learn how to build the medium that you want to be on. Right now, IT is all the thing, and it takes more than a nice set of pipes or a pretty face anymore to make it in this industry. I would suggest taking some computer courses, even programming. Learn how to write your websites, HTML and CSS. It's going to get you further in the future.
Wow, look at that. Was that a shot at me that it's not just a pretty face to get you?
No, that was a shot at myself. But no, I learned that over the past few years that, you know, you just got to keep evolving with the industry and learn how to do all these other jobs, especially in our industry where, you know, one person does multiple jobs. So, you know, even just online courses and stuff when you're done with college, they're sure inexpensive and you can sit in the comfort of your home.
I agree 1,000%. Yeah. Steve Grzanich, as you know, I slept my way to the top. But what advice do you have?
I disagree with Jen. It is all about a pretty face.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Keep your face as pretty as long as possible.
Started younger than any of us. You were like 15, 16 years old.
I was about 15 years old. I had to get a work permit for my first job. So the school would allow me to leave school to go do the work.
So not specific to sports, but what advice do you have for Patrick?
I would just say have a rounded background, something you can fall back on if necessary, but also be as smart as you can about everything, because you never know if your specialty is going to be part of
That's
a show.
Point,
like
too.
Right now, I mean, my specialty was always news and politics, and here I am part of a full show that I have to know a wide range of things about. So
you've got to clean up a lot of my mistakes.
Well, I just have to be part of all the conversations, and that you have to be smart about all that stuff.
People, you got to read nonstop.
Yes,
you like to read, Patrick?
Not really.
That's honest. Honesty's good too.
Honesty is good. What other things are you interested in other than sports? Like, what would a backup plan be? Like, your dad's a genius with money. You have any interest in business?
I would say that my interest strays away from numbers and more towards storylines and people.
Okay. So a writer, maybe?
Yeah, I would be interested in writing any sort of, I don't know, storytelling.
Storytelling.
In any way that could be.
How about a guitar, folk music, and a bunch of four-year-olds?
I actually took guitar lessons.
Oh, you did?
I was told to stop. I didn't practice enough at home.
All right, Dave, advice.
Well,
I mean, you're the key player here, Dave, because sports journalism, you and Patrick previously was a guest of yours in the booth at Northwestern.
He was. So I would go along with what Jen said, and like you and Dean were discussing, learn how to operate a fax machine. I think that's really,
really?
Cutting edge. It? Yeah, I think that's it.
That doesn't seem
right. That way you
can
interact with your audience.
That seems
no,
totally wrong.
In all seriousness, I think it's just kind of going for what you want to do. And I mean, it's a tough business. It's a demanding business. The hours aren't always the best. But if it's something that you have a passion for, then maybe your travels are going to take you to a small market somewhere to get started and work your way to wherever you want to go. But if
who's our former intern that's doing Kane County baseball?
That's Joe Brand.
Joe Brand, who works here now.
Yep.
Now, there's a guy, Joe Brand, loves baseball. Joe Brand goes out and takes a play-by-play job in Kane County, which is a fun team, one of the more fun minor league teams, because he wants to do play-by-play. He's done it for 3 or 4 years, I think.
I think more than that now.
Yeah, and at any point, because he's good at it, he's got an opportunity now to possibly leverage that into a AAA gig or maybe a major league gig. And, you know, that's working out in Kane County, so it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's a key thing. The other thing is do as much as you can. Because, look, we're all asked to do more than maybe we were when we started in the business. I mean, it's kind of getting back to what Jen said, that everybody's got to multitask. Everybody's got to be able to do different things than maybe your initial skill set would have allowed you to do.
Yeah, do a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all reps, man. Do it every day. Do a podcast every day. Write every day.
Also, a big thing, never burn any of your bridges. We are an incestual industry. We will work together multiple times. Mm-hmm. So make sure you are always kind.
I burn bridges every place I've ever lived. I burn bridges here.
Yeah. So I think like Jen DeSalvo, I mean, this is the second job, I think, or is it the third that we have worked together now?
It's either two or three.
Yeah, it's two or three. So over the course of, you know, just 10 years or so.
I think generally speaking, Jen, you're right. Don't burn bridges. But I think there are exceptions.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're the boss eventually, then, and the bridge that you burnt was with somebody who, you know, was above you and now they're below you. That's
I've burned a bridge
right?
in 2010. I blew it up and then I burned it again.
And you keep throwing kerosene on it.
I've been a model citizen since I came back. Questions? Anything? Because I wouldn't have any of this show, but do you have any questions?
I don't think I want to take up too much time on your show.
Look at that, huh? Look at that.
Yeah. That's another
already
thing. It's always good to suck up.
It's always great to bring donuts or send donuts to those people that gave you advice.
Yeah.
I want some donuts.
Yeah, sucking up to talent. Yeah,
absolutely.
No question about it. No question about it. By the way, my friend Will Roth is here as well. Will's back in town, ladies. I'm just telling you right now. And he won't be available forever. It's 8:52. We'll come back and do more in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Still to come, 9 o'clock hour, Jordan Sparks, winner of American Idol, and Orion Samuelson. Did they ever work together before, Jordan Sparks and Orion?
I believe they did on the Saturday morning show.
They did?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. This summer, Jordan is partnering with Kalahari Resorts and Conventions for National Water Park Day on July 28th. So she'll be talking about that, amongst other things. We'll see how she's doing. And she's the mom of a 14-month-old baby boy named DJ. So we'll check in with her in a few minutes. You guys, of course, welcome anytime. 312-981-7200 on the phone. Texters as well. 312-981-7200. And CLTV will join us next. Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right after this.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
She won American Idol. Billboard chart topping Broadway starring film starring Jordan Sparks. Guess what she's doing now, though?
She's a mom.
I bet she's better at that than any of the other stuff. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. How are you? That was such a cool intro.
Well, thanks. How's baby DJ?
He's good. He's with dad right now. He just woke up, and so he's like all puffy and so cute and squishy, but he's good.
Well, cute and squishy is always good. How old is he?
He's 14 months.
You know, it's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you. The hardest thing and the greatest thing. And after everything you've done, could you imagine that would be true?
You know what? Actually, yes, and it is. I've always loved kids, and I always knew that if I ever had the opportunity to have them, that I would love it, but I had no idea that I would love it this much. I really enjoy it.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, it's just you just don't know till you know.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. You have partnered with Kalahari Resorts and Conventions for National Water Park Day. Why is that important to you?
Well, we partnered together because it's just important to be able to take time away from the everyday hustle and bustle of life, to be able to take a step away and just have fun, you know? And I just remember growing up and being able to take vacations, and summertime was always the best time because we just got to go and we didn't have to think about anything else but having a good time and exploring and the wonderment of it all. And so for me to be able to do this with them was a lot of fun. We got to go and experience the resort. So Kalahari Resort is the biggest indoor water park in America.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It truly is. I walked in and I was just like, whoa. Like,
right?
For me, I was just full of amazement just to see everything. And I brought my son and my husband and my mom, and we had the greatest time. But we went and we got to spend time in the little waiting pool for the little babies. And it was really true when they say they have something for everyone. Sometimes they don't think about the younger kids like that can't really swim. But there was so many things for him to do, and his eyes were just so big, and all the kids were around, and he was just having the time of his life. And it was amazing to be able to do that, because he deserves to be able to take a little vacation too, away from the house that he's familiar with and all that stuff. So it was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
Yeah, the crazy thing about the Kalahari resorts is, you know, you think about, well, there's a little baby boy, 14 months old, everything's new to him, and of course he's going to be blown away with it. But you're a grown-up. You've seen everything, and you were knocked out.
Yes, I was absolutely, they really blew my socks off. Like, there was everything for everyone, and not just the water. I mean, they have like miniature golf, and they have ropes courses, they have spas, they have really nice restaurants. I mean, there's an arcade, there's everything. I was just like, well, I could live here. That would be cool.
That would be kind of a fun way to live, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So when, I don't know the date, is National Water Park Day like now? When is it?
It's July 28th.
Oh, so it's coming up.
Yes, so it's coming up. So I will be reminiscing on this past weekend, and I hope we get to go and spend an even more time and bring more family with us the next time we get to go.
All right, now I know you love hanging around with that little boy, and why wouldn't you? But what are you doing work-wise?
Oh, right now I'm actually working on new music. I've got some really good songs that I'm very excited for people to hear. I don't have a release date yet because I'm still working on some more, but I'm excited to be back in the studio and doing that. And then I'm also working on a movie that is Christmas related, which Christmas runs in my veins. My birthday is December 22nd,
yeah.
So it's also natural. So I get to do something Christmas related. And then I'm also hoping to start filming on a TV show that I'm a part of called Unrelated, that's on Freeform. So there is a lot going on, but it's all good things.
I get the whole December thing. My son's birthday is December 18th. His daughter, my granddaughter, December 19th. So yeah, you're all at the same party.
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's so great. No, we could do Christmas in July. Let's do it. I'm okay with that.
That's all right, too. Yeah. And, you know, it's a question that comes up sometimes. They go, I don't understand why it takes so long to do an album.
Right.
The songs are 3 minutes long. How long could it take you to write a song? But inspiration comes when it comes, right?
Yeah, inspiration comes when it comes. I mean, now it's so crazy. The way that music is consumed is so different than it was when I first came out. Oh my gosh, 12 years ago, I guess.
Right, right.
So much. But we consume it so much faster. So there are people who are putting out song after song after song all the time. But my brain doesn't work that way. You know, I grew up listening to, you know, the greats like Mariah and Whitney and of the like. And, you know, they would put out an album and you would have to wait 2 or 3 years until, you know, they came out with another one. So for me, that's kind of how my brain works. I also, with this album, I want to take my time. I want to make sure that it's definitely what I want to say.
Yeah, get it right.
Yeah, and that is complete and right, definitely.
So do you love touring as much as you love making the music?
You know what's crazy? Touring was not my favorite thing. I loved performing. Like, once I got on the stage,
right. Get
I
it.
Loved it.
Yep, I get it totally.
Travel and, like, waking up and not knowing where I am sometimes, and that got a little bit crazy, especially because I was by myself a lot. It got kind of lonely because I was so young. But I think now it would be different because I'd have my family with me, and it would just be a completely different experience this time around. So I am excited to do that again when it comes up.
Is it harder now than it was before? I mean, you know, when I came up as a disc jockey in the 80s and into the 90s, the model was this. You were really good. Somebody saw you in a bar, or maybe you were lucky enough to get your tape heard. They signed you to a record deal. They developed an album or two. They put you out on the road. I mean, it's all different now, but it's not. I mean, everybody doesn't get discovered by playing music on YouTube, right?
Right. I mean, it's different. You never know. I mean, you never know who you're talking to. You never know who you'd run into. So, I mean, there's still that form of, like, mystery when it comes to it. But things definitely have changed. It's almost like it's a fast track now where, like, you get discovered, you're on YouTube, and all of a sudden you have a single, and then you're touring, and then, you know, there's everybody. There's so many people that are coming out all at once, and music's getting consumed so quickly that there can be so many artists all the time. And I think it's great. I personally think there's room enough for everybody. Like, we don't have to be in competition with each other. Like, everybody's different. We can all do this. But, you know, it definitely is crazy on how things work. And touring is different as well, too. I mean, I know there's a few acts that can do arena and stadium tours. Now, I know for me, my preference is to do kind of smaller crowds. Like, I love doing, like, theaters and clubs, a little bit more intimate. So I think it depends on the artist in that way. But in terms of the development and A&R and different things like that, that's all different too. I'm unsigned by choice right now, so it's really nice to be able to just, I get to make all the decisions in the music and decide what it's going to be and what it's going to sound like and, you know, the visuals and all of that. And it's amazing. But hey, as long as you are happy and you get your music out and you are okay with what you're doing, you know, you can be signed to a label or you can be independent. It doesn't matter as long as you are being heard.
Yeah, it's got to work for you. The thing is, you're not going to get paid a lot when you first come out, but then there comes a point where you ought to be getting more money than you do because the business model has always been so sideways. And there are some really good A&R people out there, artists and repertoires, what that means, but there are also people that, I mean, they don't know your music. You know your music, and you don't want to be told what records to put out.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of give and take when it comes to the music industry. But I do think that we've made a lot of really cool advancements. But you're right. The music industry is definitely sideways. I think artists definitely should be getting paid more for what we do and for how hard we work. Because there's a lot of sacrifice and there's a lot of things that go into it and a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people don't really get to see, you know. But I definitely think that hopefully we'll get it together. Hopefully the music industry will get it together and everybody will be paid what they need to be paid. And, you know, everybody will be able to really enjoy themselves in this industry.
Last question. What are you going to do if DJ says I want to be a singer?
I'm okay with that.
Good.
I'm totally okay with that. I mean, I want him to be able to do whatever he's passionate about, you know, but it is really crazy. His musicality is totally there. I think he's going to be a percussionist. He loves, like, beatboxing.
He'll nice.
And he'll just be like, when he wakes up, and I'm just like, where did you get this from?
That's
it's
tremendous.
So crazy, because I'm definitely not a beatboxer, but it's definitely there. But I know he loves basketball too. Ball was the first word he said after Mama and Daddy.
So
we'll see what happens. But yeah, I want him to be able to do whatever he's passionate about.
You know what you got to do? Take him to see Stomp. Next time there's a road production of Stomp, take him to see Stomp and see if that lights him up.
Oh my gosh, yes, that's such a great idea. That's a great idea.
Jordan Sparks, one of the most popular American Idol winners. You know, there's so many music shows now, and the editing has changed so much. Everything is positive, and it's not all positive when you go through this stuff. I'm not saying you ought to have judges doing the Simon thing and ripping everybody. It just doesn't feel real like it did when you won.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed, for sure. I'm happy that there are still platforms for people to be able to, you know, live their dreams and get a chance to do it. But it definitely has changed. I'm grateful that I was able to do it when I did, because there is something to be said about showing the struggle, you know, showing the craziness in turn that helps propel you to where you are, to where the polished shiny finished product is there, but you get to see how you got there. So I definitely agree with you on that, but I do love that they're still around to give people a chance to live their dreams.
More of them every day. National Water Park Day coming up. You got a website or a hashtag you want to send people to?
Oh, yes. People can go for more information at KalahariResorts.com. And I also want to shout out Gina Ruzica, who was on my season of Idol. Love you, girl. She still lives in Chicago.
Good.
And she's absolutely amazing. So I just want to say hi to her and her family.
All right, Gina. You ever need plugs, you know where to find them right here. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
There you go, Jordan Sparks. DJ's mom, Dave. That's DJ's mom.
Yeah, how about that? DJ, a rising star, it sounds like.
Beatboxing when he wakes
yep.
up.
Yep. Look at your 14-month-old
boxing. Yeah, getting it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. DJ is probably a great name for a kid that's beatboxing.
You would think, right? Yeah.
Seems to work. 923. Hi, everybody, on CLTV. Steve Cochran Show continues next.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Sandelson.
State fair season. Not so far away, huh, Big O?
Nope, not far away at all. As a matter of fact, we'll get to the Wisconsin State Fair, I think, a little bit later this month. And, of course, the Illinois State Fair, Iowa State Fair, Indiana State Fair. And it's crazy, some of the food items that they're putting on the menu, because every year at county and state fairs, somebody, some vendor, tries to come up with something that we've never had before. I think probably the most unusual one I've ever seen was the boiled in oil stick of what of butter. And
so it's kind of deep fried sense. Butter?
Yeah, electric butter. Electrified butter.
Well, so,
anyway.
Yeah, and everything comes on a stick, right?
Everything comes on a stick, although the some of the pork chop sandwiches just come with a bone. You just hang on to the bone and enjoy the pork. So.
The Minnesota State Fair is gigantic, and it's one of the main cultural events of the year in Minnesota. And it's bigger than ever. And when I first went to Minneapolis, when I was offered a job there back in the late 80s, the general manager of the radio station picked me up at the airport. And he said, well, welcome to town. I think you're really going to like KDWB. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run you over to the fairgrounds. And I'm thinking, the fairgrounds? Why am I going to the fairgrounds? It's unbelievable. It's like a city. It's like a separate city, how big it is. And there was a story not long ago about the amount of money some of these vendors make. They basically spend the entire year gearing up for the 2 or 3 week run at the state fair and then make all their money there. And I'm going to have to dig that story up, because the leading vendor at the Minnesota State Fair, I believe I'm right about this, does $2.5 million in 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. That's a lot of whatever.
That's a lot of people and a lot of food and a lot of money.
Right?
Yeah.
God. So, and as many state fairs as you have done, the fact that you're not skimming just goes to show what a good person you are, Big O.
Well, I try to keep it legal.
You know, talking about travel, which of course you do by car to these fairs, unless it's a flyaway, you've traveled everywhere, and there's a story in Newsweek about the top 10 business cities to travel in America. You got a favorite city you like to go to?
Favorite city that I like to go, I enjoy Denver. They have a great livestock show in January, and they have various meetings involving ranchers and lamb producers. So I do enjoy Denver. I enjoy San Antonio, which is also set up to do agricultural conventions.
What do you do about the fact that Denver Airport, and I'm not exaggerating, is literally an hour plus from the city?
You make plans ahead. If you have to be there by 9 o'clock, you generally get in 2 hours early, because you'll never know what the traffic will be. And you're right, the distance is a long, long way.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. It's one of the farthest.
Incidentally, I did fly Air Orion this weekend.
Good.
First time in a while. We flew up to Viroqua, Wisconsin, which is up near La Crosse. And from the air, because we fly at 4,500 feet and we can see a lot more than you do from 35,000. But it was interesting for me to note that in Illinois, when we took off here at Huntley, you could easily see where ponding had occurred and fields didn't get planted or they were not doing well. We crossed the state line into Wisconsin, and the number of ponding problems weren't nearly as great as Illinois, which says how spotty these rains have been this year. So,
what do you make of that, though?
Well,
that we got the deluge and they just got normal storms?
Could very well be, yes. And this spring, every meteorologist I talk to says it's the most unusual one from the standpoint, well, here in Huntley, we had one experience where it was raining in our backyard, totally dry in the front yard.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And yeah, it really is. It's and it can be a heavy downpour when it moves in, but it turns out to be brief, and it turns out to be very local. So I have yet to talk to a farmer or a market analyst or anybody in agribusiness who, when I ask, have you ever seen a spring as unusual as this one, and will say, nope, never before in my lifetime. So,
all right, we have Dave. What did you tell me the highs are going to be in Chicago Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
According to the WGN Weather Center, 99 on Thursday and triple digits on Friday and Saturday and 99 on Sunday.
So what does that do? How much stress and strain does it put on the crops that were planted?
It puts a lot of stress and strain, and the timing is interesting, too, because normally we like good temperatures for pollination for the corn crop, and if it gets hotter than what we normally want, that will affect pollination, and it will affect the yield. And the other thing that is going to be so different this year, how long will it take to get harvested, because it took probably 5 or 6 weeks to plant the crop, and so that would mean it'll probably take 5 to 6 months to harvest the crop. It won't take that long, but it's going to spread harvest out, and that always makes farmers worry about frost and to worry about the first snowfall and all of that. It's a totally unusual year, and regardless of whatever crop you're planting, the hurricane following the path that it often does when it goes into the Gulf Coast, and that could bring some more rain up into the Midwest, particularly southern Illinois and Indiana and Ohio. So now we wait and watch that along with the high temperatures.
All right, I'll let you go on this. Today is the anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11. Do you remember where you were when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon?
Yes, I was standing in my front yard at my home in Lincolnshire, Illinois, looking up at the moon and saying, there are people up there. There are people up there.
How about that?
Yeah, I remember it vividly. And one other thing, happy class reunion day, because I know you got that coming up. So.
40. Big 40 on Friday night, or as you like to call it, a good start.
Yes, a good start, because one of the reasons we went to Westby this weekend was for the all-class reunion of the Ontario High School. I graduated from there in 51, so I can't even remember what number this was.
51 would be 67, yes? 51?
Yeah, I guess
68,
so.
68 this year.
Yep, right.
Yeah.
And it was good to see people I see once a year or I haven't seen for 5 years, but it was a good time, and so I hope you have as good a time, too. So.
Well, I will do my best. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
That's Big O, Orion Samuelson.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Alligator swim, alligator sway.
Stand by. Coming up,
storm,
one of the most important news conferences in Chicago history. The Humboldt Park Gator has been caught. Will he speak at the press conference, or does he only talk to us? We'll find out. And what were his motives? We're being told there's no reason to believe gator terrorism has gone on.
No.
Okay.
I heard he's thrown out the first pitch at Wrigley tonight.
That would be great, but the leather gloves could throw him.
I want to know if he's alone or if it's a caravan.
Oh, no. I've heard there could be a caravan. A caravan of gators coming from El Salvador. All right, we got to take a break, come back. Steve, that's the voice of Steve Bertrand. He'll be in the WGN Radio Newsroom, the Northwestern Newsroom, in just a bit here on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are here, Dave. And Dave and I were just talking off the air a second ago, and just ahead of the press conference, Rahm Emanuel never had any gators invade the city.
I mean,
Lori Lightfoot has lost control of the city.
Right.
Yes.
Reptiles storming the borders.
We've gone back in time somehow, haven't we?
So, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we just had an exclusive interview with Scotty the Gator just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay. Call.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, yeah. He's gone viral. Oh, and by the way, our viral video challenge, our middle-aged man challenge, just like the bottle cap challenge. But what we've done is seen if we can get middle-aged men to get out of a chair without using the armrests. We invite you to send in videos as well. I believe John DeCoste and Dave Ennett are featured in it so far.
I haven't done mine yet.
Oh, you haven't done it yet?
No.
Maybe, so it's just DeCoste.
Do you
maybe
have to do
today.
Do you do it silently or can you make a noise?
Can you groan?
You can groan. However, more points if you don't. But I'm telling you, you get to a certain age. If you don't groan when you're doing this, your head will explode.
Right.
That's true. What are you guys doing today?
We'll talk about the moon landing a little bit. It's a pretty...
What's bigger, the alligator coming out of that or the moon landing?
Oh, that's a good question. Toss up.
Yeah, total toss up.
I'm going alligator.
Yeah, because it's local.
Gator Armstrong.
We told the gator just gave a 2-minute warning.
Oh, he did?
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, we got to go. Oh. See you tomorrow.